Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Body Confidence Code. Vicky Rolf here to give you some hints and tips on how to be powerful in your own body so you can live up to your full potential. And today we're talking about the Raw Advantage with Chris Kendall, who is a registered holistic nutritionist, 100% raw and traditional lifestyle coach, yoga creator, and raw food chef. So hi, Chris.
Hey, so awesome to talk with you, Vicky. Blessed to be a part of this.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome on the series. Chris, you help people transition to 100% raw lifestyle. So according to you, why should someone adopt a raw food lifestyle?
That's an awesome question. And in fact, you know, I wouldn't say anyone should, but it is a great option if you want to live a really high vibrancy life. And when I say a raw lifestyle, I'm not only talking about raw foods in particular, but a more raw, open life in general, you know, connecting to self, connecting to your emotions. Really what I'm trying to do is help people to live a healthy, holistic, authentic lifestyle where they're really in a great relationship with themselves as well as with their food.
Oh, okay. Raw as in authentic as well.
Absolutely. And all of it is a big part. You know, like I got into this through holistics and through food and through yoga. And I recognize that food is a big part because food, most people are really far off base with it, society wise and, you know, culture wise and what we have in terms of what's put out into the mainstream, the confusion out there. But at the end of the day, raw food and food in general is just one aspect of health, and all of it comes together to bring you a really good health package.
And what just to make everything clear for the audience, what do you consider raw food? Is it you don't cook anything, you eat it raw, or what is your definition of raw food?
That's a great question. You know, and typically, starting with raw food specifically, it's a food in its most natural state that hasn't been heated at a temperature above around 118. Around that temperature, there starts to be some enzymatic changes and damage done to the food that is irreversible. And, you know, a lot of people, though, going from there, consider one a raw foodist if they're eating around 80% or more of their calories from raw food. So anywhere within that bracket, a lot of times people, you know, they might eat raw till dinner and include raw food in their dinner, but have, you know, a little bit of steamed potato or broccoli in there and still be enjoying a high raw diet. And I help people with all those spectrums, even just getting people into plant-based and healthier lifestyles. Because again, my schooling's in holistic nutrition. I've just focused extensively on vegan and raw vegan diets.
Okay. And when you talk about raw lifestyle, and I'm going, and tell me if I'm all the way like out, but is it like raw in the sense like you don't use electricity? I'm gonna sound like really stupid, but you don't use electricity, or like what is raw lifestyle in your definition?
That's a great question too. You know, I mean, basically food in its whole natural state as given from nature would be considered the green light optimal food choices on a raw food diet. Now, within that, though, there is a lot of variancy, and, you know, myself and most other raw foodists who don't live necessarily like right in the tropics, growing their own food and picking it right from the tree fresh, you know, utilize things like blenders and utilize dehydrators and still cut up things. You know, some people like to juice things, which can start to smear the message a little bit as it's not a whole food anymore. But again, we're looking towards foods that are closest to their whole natural state. And, you know, I even use freezing and stuff like that. As a raw food chef, I like to make things that are, you know, mimicking old favorites that are really different in taste and texture. But the focus for me is always on really great digestion and then on really high nutrition, you know. So Generally speaking, that is the foods in their most natural state. But you can still have a lot of nutrition and really great digestion by making a nice big green smoothie or by making some pasta out of zucchini and making it into noodles and having a nice fresh tomato sauce. Or, you know, I even make raw pizzas and burgers and stuff like that, which can be utilized in that transitional period for fun and variation, or can be used as a part of your whole lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, not everyone wants to just eat whole fruits right off of the tree and greens right from the garden. And it's good to have some differentiation or some variance so that you can, you know, find the lifestyle that works the best for you, that you enjoy, and you can share with your friends and family, and they don't think you're just, you know, gone off the deep end.
Right. Right. And going 100% raw had a lot of benefit to you, and it helped you heal your body physically and mentally. So can you share a little bit about your story and how you decided to adopt that lifestyle?
For sure. You know, so let's see, I don't know how far to go back, but I'll just start by saying, you know, always growing up, skateboarding was a huge part of my life. And, you know, it led me where I wanted to go in many ways. It was my biggest goal is to become a professional skateboarder. And I moved out when I was 17 and started basically just eating horribly and, you know, smoking cigarettes and marijuana and drinking every night and fast food. And long story short, my skateboarding went downhill. My joints were hurting. I had severe candida, joint pain. I didn't really want to live anymore, truthfully, as depressed. And I found yoga, and of all places, I found yoga in a Walmart and started taking it religiously. Yeah, it was a VHS tape back then. That was almost 20 years ago now. And I started taking on yoga on full force and started reading about yoga and learning about karma and the karmic effects of food and just food in general and nutrition, which I had no concept of before. And it started really bringing my interest into nutrition specifically. And I found a book called Fit for Life by Marilyn and Harvey Diamond, which is an amazing book I'd recommend to anyone. And, you know, it really opened my eyes to the power of whole plant foods. It talked about raw food. It talked about vegetarian. It talked about vegan. It talked about digestion and how, you know, different combinations of food can actually digest smoother or require more digestive energy to get less out of. It talked about, you know, sequential eating. So eating the fastest digesting foods first and then going from there. And, you know, that was almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago now. And since then, I've probably had 5 cooked breakfasts. It talked about eating fruit for breakfast and eating it on an empty stomach. And it just made so much sense. I just took that on. I started food combining and moving towards more whole plant foods to a vegetarian diet. And over a 4.5-year period, went from basically a standard American diet with lots of alcohol and fast food and cigarettes to a vegan whole foods diet where I was eating mostly raw foods up till dinner. And, you know, everything I read and everything I experienced just led me to want to eat more and more raw plant foods, you know, focusing on fruits, focusing on vegetables, and otherwise very simply cooked foods, some steaming or otherwise some boiling. And eventually, just over 15 years ago, I was in school for nutrition. I originally wanted to be a plant-based chef, but there was no chefing schools at that time that focused strictly on plant-based living. All of them that I researched required you to, you know, make some meat dishes and taste meat dishes, which I wasn't willing to do. And so instead I went into nutrition. It was called CSNN, the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. And in the middle of that schooling, there was a vegan health festival in Vancouver, Canada, called A Taste of Health. And there was a number of raw food speakers there. And one in particular, Dr. Douglas Graham, who at that time was a 27-year raw foodist, he really jumped out at me. He was just glowing, literally. And I knew that he had something I wanted to learn. And I went to every one of his talks. The next day, I went 100% raw. And The reason I bring this up is because that was really when everything in my life shifted. You know, before then, I was in school. I was researching nutrition for my own personal self-interest. I just wanted to heal better so I could skateboard more and, you know, achieve my goal of becoming a professional. But after meeting Doug and going raw, that first day, my heart center burst open. I just felt so connected to everyone. I remember walking down the street with tears in my eyes, just feeling love and just feeling so vibrant and vital and connected to my spiritual self and to everyone around me, that I knew in that moment, I'm like, this is what I want to do. Skateboarding is amazing. I love it. And I'll always do it to connect with others and to connect with my childlike self and my passion. And it's a part of my purpose, but helping people to feel this is what I really want to do. And that's why I also bring in the whole holistic factor, because it's not just about diet. But again, people are so far off base with diet. And it took me over 5 years to find what I feel is our species specific diet of way of living that brings about the highest levels of health, physical, mental, spiritual, or at least opens the doors to those, you know. And that's one of the things about the raw lifestyle is, again, it's not just about food, but when you eat a really high vibrancy diet, every single thing else comes up. I consider it a vortex of positive change. You know, it leaves you feeling very vibrant. So you want to move, you want to exercise, which is just as important. You know, it puts you more in touch with, if you're tired, if you've been wearing yourself out and you require more sleep, it puts you more in touch with your spirituality, and you can focus on that or you don't have to focus on that, but it really does bring everything into focus. And, you know, within those first few days, weeks, and months of a raw food diet, I felt, you know, things in my body shifted so quickly. The previous 4.5 years I'd been changing my diet and I'd noticed huge improvements. But when I went raw, I found that I recovered so much faster from skateboarding, that my candida went away. And before that, I was trying every candida diet in the book. Mm-hmm. My mental clarity became just so much more sharp and focused. My emotions just, I felt them so much more, which can be looked at as a good or a challenging thing. But at the end of the day, I think it has a lot of benefits, really feel what we feel and learn how to find new coping mechanisms rather than food, which is one of the biggest security blankets and coping mechanisms we have.
Right.
So, you know, every aspect of my life, every aspect of health really perked up. And I started to realize too, that it was the best diet in terms of ecology, you know, using the least amount of resources and producing the least amount of greenhouse gases. And, you know, for the animals, of course, vegan and raw vegan is great. One of the cool things about raw veganism is it focuses a lot on tree fruits, and tree fruits and tree crops create the most biodiversity and allow the largest amount of habitat for animals, you know, so that's a beautiful thing as well. But yeah, it's changed my life, and that's why, you know, the last 15 years, this is what I've focused on. And the last 10, 11 years, I've been focusing specifically on putting this message out through my website and in any way I possibly can.
And that's amazing that you were able to shift completely from being, you know, mentally, physically to a vibrant human being. And that's amazing just by changing your lifestyle. And people don't realize that sometimes it doesn't take a complete 360 or 180, I think we say, but by implementing small changing little by little, like in your case, it took, I think you said, 4 to 5 years to really get the full benefit of it. It's not something that you change like one day and then all your problems were gone. It was a work in progress.
Absolutely. And I think that's such a good point, because I mean, you know thyself and to thine own self be true, right? If you know you're the type of person that just dives right into the deep end, or otherwise, if you know that you're the type of person that likes to slowly wade into the water, respect that and make incremental changes. You know, I have a free book we'll talk about later, but it talks about 10 different holistic avenues to improve your life. And you can just take one at a time, you know, and food can be one of those changes. You can just start by having fruit for breakfast like I did, or you know, start by adding a salad before every single meal, you know, or you can focus on getting a bit more sleep. But whatever you focus on within the holistic realm is going to bring some benefit. And it all comes together in its own time if you're making changes that you're willing to make, rather than making changes you think you should make and end up falling by the wayside a couple of days later.
Yeah. And would you say that this is the key to be able to stick with a lifestyle, a raw food lifestyle, long term?
You know, I think it definitely is one of the main keys. You know, there are more than a few, and sometimes it requires a bit of support through the tough bits. Because again, when you start really living a high vibrancy life and you let go of a lot of your coping mechanisms and your security blankets, things can get a little raw. You know, they can get a little bit more real. And if you're just used to using food as a coping mechanism, you take that away, you know, you're going to want to have some others in place. And whether that's your own or whether that's reaching out to someone else and talking things through, or, you know, just creating new lifelong habits, you know, there's so many ways to bring about ease throughout this transitional period.
Right. Awesome. And yes, let's talk about the free gift that you want to offer the audience. There are a few.
Yeah, for sure. So I have one, Super Sweet Treats, which are simple low-fat raw food desserts that you can make as the entire meal. You know, you could have ice cream for lunch, or you could have crepes or pancakes, and they're all simple but delicious. Then I have another booklet called 10 Sure Shot Ways to Drastically Improve Your Health. And so that's 10 holistic avenues to really change your life for the better. Two of them revolve around food. The other eight are all lifestyle related. And then the other free gift is an excerpt from my book, TRA Retreat Treats, which are some of my favorite recipes that I've served on retreats over the last decade that people just love and want again and again. So there's in that book, there's, you know, like East Indian and Thai and Mediterranean and Italian and stuff. And this excerpt is actually Mediterranean night. So you get the falafel recipe, tzatziki recipe, tabbouleh, and you can just bring that home and, you know, share that with other people. So those three booklets are free with my free gift.
Thank you so much. I will definitely try that, because I tried doing falafel once, and trust me, it was not ready.
Well, I tell you, this one, it does require a dehydrator.
Okay.
But they are very, very authentic. And that's one of the key things that I really try and focus on with my food is, again, that it's easy to digest, common ingredients, but is authentic and actually tastes like it. You know, like my raw pizzas literally taste like cooked pizzas, and it wows people a lot. I do briefly want to mention too that I have a free app. It's available for iOS as well as Android. It's just called the Raw Advantage Raw Recipes, and has over 100 free recipes, has my recipe videos, a food combining chart, some potential holistic health info, and then it has 8 of my 10 recipe books on there as in-app purchases for the lowest price possible, cheaper than on my website. But 20% of the recipes from each book are in there, so you get a taste of it.
Thank you. That's the great insight. Thank you. So everybody at home who would like to get access to the free gift and know a little bit about the app, just click on the link that is in the email you received with this interview, and you will be able to have the information. That's amazing. I have to ask you about the monk fruit sugar. It's everywhere. And they say that it's good for people with diabetic, because it doesn't have any glycemic index. What are your thoughts about the monk fruit sugar?
Well, you know, as far as I know, the monk fruit is within the sapote family, a very similar fruit to mame sapote, which actually tastes very much like sweet potato, or otherwise it's very close. No, it actually, I retract that. I believe it's actually in the same family as egg fruit, which is also known as canistel, and it's one of the sweetest fruits out there. So it'd be like a powdered version of that. Now, you know, truthfully, you know, a lot of times people make large claims about specific foods, especially if they can turn them into a product. And I'm not trying to say that that isn't a great product and a replacement for white sugar. Likely it has some of the fiber intact, and it's, you know, it comes with a lot of the nutrition of the fruit itself, you know. But I would like to also mention that really the true superfoods are the whole fruits and vegetables that are out there, you know. And even the Diabetic Association, it doesn't make people fear fruit. And in fact, you know, I know people whose specialty is helping people reverse diabetes by basing their diet off of fruit. You know, fruit comes in a nutritional package with water content, with fiber, with antioxidants, flavonoids, all these different factors that help the absorption of the fruit sugar in a natural, slow, and at times fast way, but in such a way that your body can uptake it without causing a huge blood sugar reaction. So the only point I would add on to that is, one of the biggest implicating factors on having a poor blood sugar or having a poor insulin response or insulin function is eating a really high-fat diet. Eating a high-fat diet can really basically make insulin less effective by gumming up the receptor sites in our body and making insulin's job of ushering fruit sugar or any carbohydrate that gets turned into sugar, because everything gets turned into sugar in our bloodstream. That's our main fuel source. It gums up the receptor site so that insulin's function of pulling those sugars out of the bloodstream and into the cells is diminished. And so if that's diminished, you know, it causes us to secrete more and more insulin, which eventually can cause pancreatic fatigue and eventually cause adrenal fatigue and a whole host of other symptoms. But if instead we're on a generally lower fat diet, eating between 8 and 15% fat total calories on average, then insulin function's really sharp and there's no healthier food on the planet than fruit, even for diabetics.
Love it. Thank you so much for that insight. Chris, we're coming to the end of the interview. I wish we could talk more, but before I let you go, what would be the last advice or one advice you would like to share with the audience?
Oh, that's a great opportunity. Thanks so much. You know, what I would say is, you know, really love and respect yourself. Understand that, you know, the feelings that you feel aren't you, they're just things moving through you. And in order to come into a greater relationship with yourself and your food, allow yourself to feel things. You know, we're here to feel and experience everything. And if we can allow ourselves to feel things without labeling them or without judging them or without labeling or judging ourselves for feeling certain things and learn new coping mechanisms outside of food. So instead of just running to food every time we feel intense emotion, whether it's super high or super low, allow ourselves to feel it and utilize something else like, you know, a bath or talking to a friend or some time in nature or even just screaming and letting it all out if we need to do that so we can come into a more calm, balanced state and eat for reasons of nutrition rather than numbing or sidestepping our emotions. And it's funny, but when we're feeling intense emotions, that's generally when we're going to reach out for the heavier foods that don't really serve our health goals. So if instead we create that new coping mechanism and we utilize that space and time to emote, to feel those things and even see it as a gift, see it as something like I'm letting go of past stuff I've stored. I'm letting go of things I wouldn't face before and then come into that clear balance state. When we choose to eat at that place, we're much more likely to make choices that again, reflect our highest health goals and higher vibrancy living, looking out for green smoothies and salads and fruits and simple raw or cooked vegan meals that really serve us much better.
Wonderful. Chris, thank you so much for this interview.
Such an absolute pleasure. Yeah, great to connect with you and great to connect with everyone here. And yeah, I'm happy to share in any way I possibly can.
Thank you. And everybody at home, thank you for tuning in the Body Confidence Code. Don't forget to take a look at Chris app as well. And have a wonderful day and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
You guys.